Bowery Capital Startup Sales Podcast with your host, Evan McElwain.
Welcome back to the Bowery Capital Startup Sales Podcast. I'm Evan McElwain, Bowery Capital's Director of Growth, and this week we are joined by Andrew Elliott, CRO at People Data Labs, to talk about excelling at each stage of revenue growth. Great to have you on the show, Andrew.
Thanks, Evan. Appreciate you having me on today.
So, Andrew, tell us a little bit about you, your background, and your current company, People Data Labs.
Sure. I'm responsible for revenue and go-to-market op, PDL. So that includes marketing, sales development, sales, customer success, support, and RevOps. A little bit about me. I've been working in tech since 2001. I've been a single-digit, pretty early hire, four times now. I've got 8 or 9 years of sales, first line, second line experience in terms of management, and 15 plus years of early and mid-stage startup experience. And then I also did about 4 years, just north of 4 years at publicly traded companies with larger revenues in excess of $1 billion. And three of the companies I've worked for have been acquired, and acquirers include Verizon and VMware, among others.
And one thing, Andrew, that we always like to ask our guests is, what is one thing that no one listening to this podcast will know about you?
Sure. So I can share a couple of things. Maybe when I was younger, I did MMA, mixed martial arts, at Slow Kickboxing, which was the facility run by Chuck Liddell and Scott Adams, which is dating myself a bit. Some people might recognize those names. I was never very good, but it was fun. And these days, when there's not a COVID situation, I enjoy getting out on a football pitch. As in a soccer field, I play soccer when I can. And I think I'm pushing towards 35, 40 countries at this point. So 160 plus more to go at some point when we can travel again.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. So, Andrew, can you just help explain for our audience, for those who aren't familiar, when folks in SaaS talk about the stages of growth as it relates to revenue, what are kind of the main buckets of revenue ranges that they're typically referring to, and why do we tend to break them up like that?
Yeah, so first of all, there's various schools of thought on this, right? And I don't know that any one is necessarily right, or that there's only one way in terms of how to look at this, but the way I'll oftentimes break it down is in kind of five stages. And the first one's 0 to 1, and then it's 1 to 5, 5 to 20, 20 to 100, and then 100, north of 100, 100 million plus. And that's kind of its own beast, though. And the reason I think about the stages in these particular buckets is because getting to 1 million in ARR is just, it's so challenging. And then once you're able to make that happen, it's all about getting to 5. And once you get to 5, you want to double. But really, you want to get to 20, because you just assume, hey, we got to 5, we're going to get to 10. And then we're going to want to double again. So at that point, you're at 20. And after that, everything starts to change because you're really hitting scale. And realistically, 20 to 100 is a pretty big jump. You could break it up and do 20 to 50, but then 50 to 100 is really just 1 year, ideally. And so it's just kind of easier, I think, to lump that 20 to 100 together. And then 100 million plus, like I said, that's just a whole different thing entirely.
And so one of the reasons I was really excited to chat through this topic with you, Andrew, is just because your background's unique and that you've actually experienced all, or at least most of these stages firsthand. Whereas it's probably fair to say that most sales leaders, they usually only experience a couple of them, and then they keep getting more and more specialized within that niche. I'd love to structure our chat today around each of these stages. We can dive into the skills, the focus areas, maybe some different strategies and frameworks that sales leaders need to succeed each step of the way. And so why don't we just start with the first bucket of 0 to 1 mil. As a sales leader, what are some of the key things that you're focused on during that stage?
Sure. And you touched on something I think is important, which is both as a salesperson, as an IC, an individual contributor, and also a sales leader, there's definitely a lot of value to specializing. I've actually quite intentionally worked hard not to pigeonhole myself as an operator at a certain stage, segment, or industry. I've built out my career of startups, and then I did larger publicly traded companies, and I was focused very much on selling sophisticated technical solutions to IT and large enterprises, because that was a place to be. It's where the budget was, and it also had very complex sales cycles. That said, over the years, I've sold to sales, marketing, HR operations, most of the major functions of the business, and also done so at various stages across pretty much every segment there is. And it's been a lot of fun, and it's also provided a lot of valuable perspective, to your point, across a pretty wide spectrum, which very few people have. And so looking at all of that, in my opinion, going to 0 to 1 is the hardest thing to do. In fact, unless something happens to quite fortunately just kind of come together, closing the first real deal properly monetized is an extraordinarily difficult thing to do. I didn't mention earlier in the intro, but you know, I really enjoy working with early stage companies, helping them develop the people, the programs, the process to drive net new ARR. I'm a mentor at Alchemist Accelerator, which is the number one enterprise only B2B incubator program. And I'm also part of their quarterly lecture series for every cohort that comes through. And I advise some companies pretty early stage and have done so over the years on sales and go-to-market strategy. I'm working with one right now. They're very close to closing that first deal. It is an emotional journey that you know, just climbing a mountain. And so going 0 to 1 is really, really difficult. Your company is small, you're like 5 to 10 people. Your go-to-market team is maybe 2 or 3, maybe 4 or 5 at the most. That's including the founder. And it's just a very, very difficult thing to do.
So Andrew, you mentioned kind of going from 0 to 1, just getting just that first customer signed is such a big feat. What are the key skills that are important at this stage for a sales leader, or more often this is the founder, to have? And I'd be curious to hear kind of both from a leadership perspective, but also from that IC perspective, as you are trying to get that first customer and really start to get some initial traction.
Yeah, it's a great question. So the skills, really, there is no skill. It's just grit. It's perseverance. It's a refusal to, you know, back down, to accept anything less than winning and success. And there is no sales leader, to your point. This is definitely going to be a founder-led motion, maybe 1 to 2 supporting members in terms of ICs on the go-to-market team. And as an IC, it's almost a surreal experience. For anyone who's done that, you know, it's unlike anything you'll ever experience again. And while you may deliberately never do it again, generally speaking, there's probably also nothing in the world you'd trade for it. It's just an incredibly rich and character-building experience. And I'm fortunate to have experienced that myself as well. But it is very, very difficult. You know, it's ideally less than a year. And you know, what I kind of try to think in these stages in terms of is like consistently what goes into them. How many people? How long does it take you? What are some of the typical challenge or focus areas that you're going to come through in each of these phases and sort of try to overcome or solve for? And at this point, you're just trying to figure out how to get paid for this service or product we're delivering. That's it. And it's probably going to take, you know, it's founder-led. It's probably going to take 20-plus deals, and it should be founder-led because this way the business founder learns what goes into closing deals. And this is absolutely critical as you look at foundationally scaling the business out further. And beyond that, beyond the first 15, 20, 25 deals being really founder-focused and leading them, you know, the first several large deals, six-figure plus deals, should also be founder-led. So they understand what goes into doing that. And, you know, like I said, getting to 20-plus deals, getting to 1 million, depending upon what type of market and you know, ASP you're driving, it's just the hardest thing in the world to do. I have tremendous respect and admiration for the founders and teams that do this.
Yeah, likewise. It is so tough kind of going from 0 to 1. And it's an interesting point you make of grit and just the refusal to give up and the power of just continuing to iterate and find something that works and just how critical that is to actually getting this off the ground. Are there any, and it may be this question may be trickiest for this range that we're talking about going from 0 to 1 million, but are there any strategies or frameworks that you've leveraged in the past at this stage, or maybe with some of the companies that you advise now that have helped enable that success?
I think from, you know, it's all about deals. It's all about getting into vendor management, getting into processes that are utterly unfamiliar for most of the people doing this, especially the founders, if it's their first time, which is, you know, oftentimes the case. So it's becoming a student of the process, and it's getting your hands on every, you know, knowledge base you can, every resource you can in terms of how do I go into building my skill set around penetrating this market. If we're, you know, a long tail developer first approach, how do we set up that type of market opportunity? If we're an enterprise focused solution, what goes into those type of cycles and trying to just become as much of a subject matter expert as the founder can as possible. And then bringing in, you know, a very small team to help support that. And from a go-to-market perspective, you know, you've got probably an account executive, you've got an SDR, and a couple smart hires will really help to meet that first $1 million mark.
Great. So let's move on to the next stage now, the $1 million to $5 million stage. What are some of the common challenges during this phase, and what are you focused on as a sales leader?
This is a really fun stage because you've got initial proof point for success, and now you're trying to validate it. Your company's growing. You know, you're probably 10 plus as you approach that 1 million mark. You could be 40 plus easily by the time you hit that 5. Go-to-market is significantly increasing from, you know, 5 to 15 plus people, and you're in this stage for anywhere from probably 1 to 2 years. There's a lot that you start to figure out. Basic stuff like, what is our ICP, ideal customer profile? Who do we sell to? Who are our key decision makers? What's the decision-making process the buyer goes through? How do we start to templatize things and create repeatability? What are some of our basic KPIs? How do we increase the deal size? How do we decrease sales cycle? You just start to, at a high level, think about some of these things. From a challenging perspective for the team, you know, you've probably made some early hires on the sales side specifically, but also other areas of the business. And they kind of have to graduate from having the founder with them on everything, because that early $1 million sprint is so founder heavy. And now these early sales hires, for example, they have to operate with no training wheels. And that's an interesting learning curve as they have to go out and sell alone. So you're starting to truly build a team, develop a foundation for autonomy. You're understanding, well, you're trying to understand and like identify and really define the team culture. And that's not an easy thing to do. And then a big, big challenge, which is going to be consistent, but it'll evolve over time, is hiring. And this is where you realize how important it is. Both how important it is and also how difficult it is.
So one piece I want to dig into a little bit further is this piece of transitioning away from founder-led selling. And you mentioned that can be a little bit tricky, not relying on the founder and really operating with kind of with no training wheels, as you put it. Any tips for folks as they're trying to make that transition?
Yeah, I think if it's done organically, then there's going to be a natural inflection point where the business may benefit by bringing in a sales leader. And that will bring some experience and expertise to the sales process and also provide a critical resource for the existing team and also the incoming team and all the hiring that's going to take place from there. It'll also free the CEO up to focus on strategy versus being heads down the business. And you know, that will be a whole, in and of itself, a very interesting transition and evolution within the business, in particular as the CEO becomes slightly removed from revenue. Like, this is going to happen. It's just a question of when. And that really underscores how important the CEO relationship will be for the incoming sales leader and you know, anyone that's in that type of a role. It's just going to be a paramount relationship as the CEO, you know, starts to become slightly removed from revenue. Slightly at that point in time feels like a massive chasm for the founder. And this will actually be one of the hardest things probably for the founder, the business-minded founder, to go through as well. And acclimate to. So it's absolutely critical that the sales leader works very hard and does a good job establishing trust early and cultivates, you know, confidence with the founder. And one of the things that can help with that is just having an exceptionally high level of what I call over communication that can set the stage from that. So, you know, transitioning from founder led to be able to hire someone off the street, sales leader or otherwise, and empowering them to be able to sell without a founder, that's a big part of what this phase is all about, and it's not an easy thing to do.
Great. So you've mentioned a couple times here, Andrew, the importance of hiring in this stage and how as you're scaling up the go-to-market team, bringing in the right hires is especially critical. What are some of the key skills that you're looking for in those early hires as a sales leader in this stage? And then also, if you're a founder bringing on that sales leader, what kind of key skills are you looking for in them to help you navigate this 1 to 5 million range?
Bringing in a sales leader is a tricky thing. If you're a second or third time, it's going to be a significant investment for the business. It's going to bring a lot of value. If it's a first time, oftentimes you're bringing someone in who seems to have the ability but hasn't done it before. So it kind of depends upon what profile you decide is right to support the business objectives. You really want to have someone good in deals at that point. They should be, you know, the founder should have really been driving the majority of the deals and should understand what successful deals look like and can help ramp this new sales leader into that and pass the baton over so that, you know, again, the CEO can focus on more strategic initiatives across the business. And the sales leader can come drive deals and also attract talent and level up the existing you know, the existing team in terms of skill sets and how they, you know, the maturity with which they go to model, go to market, how they think of, you know, navigating the deals they're in, all of the basics that go into sort of the building blocks of success in sales. And then from an IC standpoint, that's a really great question, because hiring at this, you know, hiring 0 to 1, IC, that's someone who's just ready for it. They don't need structure. They don't need a plan. They don't need process. They're ready to do all of it without that. And ideally, they want to help contribute to those things over time. Now you're hiring at more of an early scale motion, but you still don't have much in terms of all of those things. And you probably don't have much in terms of onboarding. So you really need people that are ready for that startup adventure, that want to, that feel comfortable operating in an environment with a lot of ambiguity, that will take ownership and accountability. They're self-starters. They can come in, do the job, the 9-to-5 job, but also work on building everything out, the frameworks, the documentation, you know, everything that identifies the basic processes that will support the scale, et cetera. So it's definitely, you know, more of a standalone self-starter type of hiring profile that you're looking for at this stage.
Right. Yeah, that makes total sense. I love the point that you keep hammering home around founders need to really just have a deep understanding of these deals, the sales process, the buyers that they're selling into, to ultimately set up those early sales teams, whether it's the ICs or the leaders, up for success. And lastly, on this stage, are there any strategies or frameworks that have helped you navigate this stage in particular that you want to mention?
This is where the business is going to move away from knee-jerk reactions and just operating off the cuff to more of a data-driven approach, slowing down just a little bit, understanding what's working, what's not, you know, start, stop, continue. From a data-driven perspective, we're going to start talking about annual targets and quotas and territories. There's going to be, you know, CRM implemented and some focus from a RevOps perspective, identifying basic process. Pipeline will become a big focus among other KPIs, you know, super high-level KPIs, and at this stage will become a pretty top focus, looking at MQLs, SQLs, SALs. So those are key areas that, from a strategic standpoint, and also looking at the business in terms of what type of frameworks will set the stage for the months to come, because it is really kind of looking at it in terms of months. You're probably not looking years out yet. But to that point, you know, there's some basic capacity planning also is probably going to start taking place and will help, trying to basically, you know, chart the course for the business in a super lightweight manner.
Great. So let's move on to the next growth stage, the $5 million to $20 million stage. What are some of the common challenges here that you see in this stage? And give us a sense of what you're focused on as a sales leader.
Sure. So company size, you're like 2 to 3X, and go to market size, you're pushing 50 plus by the end of this. You're doing it over really a 2-year window. And this is a big, big chunk where you're just identifying a lot of critical factors that set up both this stage, but also the phases beyond this. And you're thinking about, you're probably picking your head up and you're starting to think about TAM, what's our total addressable market, and more tactically from a deal perspective, how do we really drive these things? How do we get higher in terms of executive sponsorship, get to the C-suite? How do we get more stakeholders involved? How do we go from talking to one or two people and being bottlenecked and really having risky deals if we lose those contacts to having a lot more in terms of the cast of characters? How do we in turn accelerate the decision-making process and just drive velocity across the business now that we're in a true scale motion? If we were focused on building that foundation for the team previously, now we're building teams of teams and we're looking for repeatability. And there's a lot that comes with that. You're trying to preserve the early team culture. You're balancing that with, you know, you've got very close relationships that were built during the formative sort of quote unquote build phase. And now you've got an increased volume of hiring and also diversity that comes with the, you know, quote unquote scale phase. So during the build phase, it was probably pretty easy to hire, you know, the right people that look like and sound like a lot of the people we have. And now as we're scaling more, it's going to be a lot more people who look different and sound different than the early hires. And that just brings, it's an interesting thing that brings, you know, culturally different ways of thinking, different perspectives, and you're balancing out the early relationships with a pretty strong influx of new personnel. So hiring becomes a, you know, a 3X more challenging factor at this point. And you are scaling, so you have to balance making the right hires versus compromising on hiring integrity to meet the scaling plans, because at the end of the day, it's a simple mathematical formula on how to get to the numbers. But the best laid plans on paper don't necessarily translate the same. And so there's hard decisions that have to be made. How to maintain deal size with potentially some lower quality hires and an increased volume of hiring. And then you're going to look at the key posts beyond that. Do we have the leadership and key management hires we need to get there?
And so on that point, what are kind of the key skills that you're narrowing in on that are important to be successful, whether you're the sales leader or if you're the sales leader who's hiring all of these people to make sure that you've got the right folks in place? You mentioned for the earlier stage, it's super important that these early sales hires are more of a jack of all trades and happy to jump in and actually build out some of that process that's not already there. So I'd be curious to see how kind of the $5 to $20 million sales rep profile is different.
So from the sales leader perspective, you're definitely going to want one at this point if there isn't one already. And not only that, you're going to want the sales leader who brings some pretty solid experience and expertise to the sales process, but also a strong sales leader who can either own all of revenue and go to market or can collaborate very effectively cross-functionally with marketing and CS and the other supporting teams under the revenue sort of branch, while also doing the same with product and working closely with the back office, all of the teams that are building whatever it is that you're delivering. At a macro level, there's the way I think about an organization typically these days is there's two parts to a business. And on one side, you have product, and on the other side, you have revenue and pretty much all of the functions of the business aligned to sort one or the other. So having a unified team under revenue is going to be really, really important. But then also being able to provide a feedback loop in the product and ensure that, MBOs and incentives and motivations and everything else are aligned. And that's a complex thing to do. And it's easier to do if you've done it before. The CEO relationship, still paramount. There's going to be always a visibility factor. So having, at this point, strong dashboards and comprehensive reporting set up, that'll all help a great deal with keeping those relationships, those executive level relationships solid. And at this point, that sales leader is going to be really working to solidify the relationship with the board and the investor, make sure expectations are delivered against, or if they're not going to be, they're getting ahead of it. And they're demonstrating strong ownership. They're providing context that's ideally, pretty relevant, steeped in data that supports whatever the narrative is and why it's changed. I think all of those things from a sales leader standpoint are going to be really important. And from an IC perspective, I'll speak to this specifically from a sales standpoint. So as you're bringing in account executives in management, you want to get the best you possibly can, probably as quickly as you can, because you're really focused on, you can't get to the plan without the headcount. It's just a simple equation at the end of the day. And so you want a certain level of experience with your sellers. You probably have an enablement team at this point. You have some resources to help them ramp and learn and grow and quickly get to delivering against their monthly and quarterly quota targets. But you're not necessarily looking for that same early type of persona and profile from an IC hire, where you're looking more for people that can stay in their lane, swim straight, and go get the job done.
That's super helpful. Last question for this stage, Andrew. You've already alluded to some of this, but can you just talk a little bit about any strategies or frameworks that have really helped you along the way as you've navigated this $5 to $20 million stage of growth?
There's going to be a lot of optimization taking place, trying to figure out incrementally where we can impact the business and drive more value. Having a pretty deep focus on RevOps will certainly be helpful for supporting all of that. And that kind of translates into having a laser focus on execution. And it becomes more and more difficult to do that because the tip of the spear is further and further away. So having a maniacal focus on KPIs is probably going to be very helpful. Pipeline is king. Pipeline solves all problems, and this is where pipeline will probably start potentially becoming a problem. So being ahead of it, investing in the marketing team, making sure there's strong ownership of these things. This is a true scale motion at this point. It's probably very high growth and accelerated. So having a very comprehensive capacity plan that spans all functions, that support revenue will be very helpful. And you're starting to think through what the management and really in particular the leadership team is going to look like and developing an early framework where there's a strong foundation for trust, for empowerment, for creativity to become part of the norms from which the teams operate. And also, for that to happen, you need an environment that's functional, not dysfunctional. And that's a really hard thing to do because people are people, which is why it's so important to have the right people. Again, the hiring is a big, big factor. But that phrase, establishing the early framework for the leadership team really, set the stage. You do that between 5, 10, 15 million, 20 million. And as you walk into the big, big run, 20 to 100, you've got the right pieces in play. And it's really, really important.
Yeah, all good points. I really like the piece of, especially the combination of the emphasis on pipeline alongside the capacity planning. Because where I've seen capacity planning fall short is when it doesn't have pipeline as one of the inputs right. to how quickly are you going to ramp up that capacity plan and actually fulfill it. And so making sure that as you are scaling up and you're hiring a lot more account executives, making sure that they actually have pipeline to keep them busy and to set them up for success, to give them a chance of hitting quota, even if it's a stretch.
It's all about identifying potential bottlenecks and getting ahead of them. And pipeline is one of several critical bottlenecks that you definitely, if you're talking about the revenue side of things, you don't want that slowing things down. But it's a complex one and it's a difficult one and it involves a team approach.
Yep, for sure. All right, so moving along to the next phase, $20 million to $100 million. Help orient us around this next stage of growth. What are the core areas of focus? What kind of challenges typically arise in this stage?
So I think that this is the biggest, where the most evolution likely, oftentimes will unfold within the business, because the scale is just so significant. The company could be walking into that phase at, 80 to 100 employees. It could be exiting 100 million plus 2 years later with 700 or more. And your go-to-market team can go from 35 or 40 to 300, 400. So it's just a significant scale, hyperscale at, when it's done in an ideal, 2 to 3 time sort of year time frame. It's a massive, massive lift. So now, if you were thinking about the importance of, hey, what is our total addressable market prior to this? Now you're just in the probably controlled state of panic of, do we have enough total addressable market? What type of product do we have? How expansive is it? What is the overall slice of pie that we can get after? And will our product get us there? And that's a big part of this also. So, throwing bodies, bringing in salespeople, hiring customer success to deliver, et cetera, that's all very important, but the product's got to keep up and evolve and open up the market and deliver against it as well. And that's a really, really critical part of going from the previous stage to this to beyond. Because at the end of the day, it all comes down to being able to provide a product that is going to have enough addressable market to feed all of those bottlenecks we talked about just a moment ago. And so, the challenges that outside of that are probably going to be pretty common is attracting and hiring the talent. And can we do that? Can we get the people that we need? Can we invest in and can we build out the management team we need to get to? What about the leadership team? Do we have that in place? And that's not the same as the executive team. So the leadership team is going to become really important at this stage. These are your senior managers that the business is really going to lean on to set the example, to inspire, to hold the overall management team accountable, to really drive the day-to-day operations. And then you're on the doorstep of, okay, great. Do we have the executive team? We need to get there at this point. If you're really going through this motion and you've got the growth behind you, it's, your goal is probably an IPO or a significant acquisition. And as you try to support that growth and that scale, team culture is going to become a question. Like, what is our team culture? At this point, the business is, absolutely redefining it. It's probably becoming pretty much corporatized, because that's how you get the machine to optimize. And the only way to optimize and grow over time is to bring more people in. So your hiring becomes a far bigger challenge than it was before. And now you just need people. The right people, as talented as possible, but it's difficult, right? If you're an exceptional organization, you just attract them. Otherwise, you're balancing budgets, trying to scale accordingly, and you're just figuring it out. And you hope you don't make too terrible of mistakes, you don't hire too many of the wrong people, and that's probably one of the biggest pitfalls. At the end of the day, building these type of high-growth organizations is all about the people. And exceptional, world-class organizations, you know, they understand this, they invest in and they keep their best people. They're constantly hiring better. And you know, one of the biggest hallmarks of phenomenal leadership is how well you hire. So those are some of the things that go into this. This is a big, big, robust, comprehensive stage with a lot of moving parts.
And so digging into kind of the skills piece, both as a leader and as an IC that are important for this stage, you mentioned ability to hire, not only important in some of the earlier stages, but this one sounds like it's especially paramount. You mentioned earlier for a different stage, you know, partnership with product. Sounds like that's another really big one here for a leader as product becomes paramount to unlocking that type of hyper growth. Any others that come to mind when you look at hiring a sales leader or if you are that sales leader in seat, what are some of those skills you need to be focused on? And then also for the ICs that you're bringing in.
Yeah, I like how you mentioned the product, you brought it back to the product piece. I think that's a both interesting and fun, can be fun piece at this stage where you can have a VP of product, a chief product officer that's actually in the deals. Like that really denotes a strong cross-functional relationship between product and go-to-market and all of the different functions involved in supporting them. When you have, you know, when you're going into large, you know, majors, you're going into Google, Uber, Facebook, et cetera, and you've got kind of the product lead with you, that says a lot. So there's some indicators you can look for that I think really signal strength of the business in terms of these working relationships. But as a sales leader, you know, you are growing the business significantly. You're bringing in a lot of new hires, and you have to have both for yourself, but in particular, your management team, the hiring manager is doing this, you have to have an eye for talent. And you have to build your team and you have to trust your people. There's going to become a lot of distractions, a lot of things to focus on, and it may not be easy, but staying close to revenue is also going to be really important. I think another thing that is also a strong signal is staying plugged in as an executive sponsor for key deals. So you, again, you always want to be close to revenue. You always want to be, you know, interfacing belly to belly with key customers in the real, you know, seven figure impactful deals that are going to move the needle. And in the process, you're staying close to the troops and you're letting them, you know, see you in the trenches. You're leading from the front and you probably it's starting to sink in with a pretty deep understanding that at this point, the most impactful thing you can really do is empower your people. That's really the only way to affect material change at this point. Outside of that, you know, you have the board, the investors, probably more board, more investors. So you're really both leveraging and furthering those relationships that have, you know, previously been established, ensuring there's strong alignment around both opportunity and prevailing market conditions. And everyone needs to be on the same page. There can't be discord or mistrust or uncertainty, which often can be really difficult. But the higher location, again, that over-communication will help a lot with that. There has to be a really solid foundation to get to the summit of this thing.
Got it. As far as strategies and frameworks go, is there anything that really stands out that's really helped you in the past in your career excel in this growth stage? I know that's maybe too loaded of a question given, like you said, this is such a big stage to tackle, but if anything sticks out, we'd love to hear it.
I think there are definitely things that you can do. Some of them, again, are more kind of, you know, moving in that corporate world. So a big investment, you know, you hear me talk a lot about people. So I think this is definitely a stage where there's a focused intent around making the right type of investments, both in the people that are in the business and brought in the business, but also setting them up for success. So there's management training. You know, there's methodologies for sales, for CS, there's doing cross-functional exercises to make sure everyone's speaking the same language. You're investing in tools to support process and really provide the visibility we've been talking about, which again, you know, just is going to be a really important thing at this point. And, you know, if you think about a true plan to scale, it's really hard. It's hard to do that over multiple years as you're growing exponentially. And the only way to do is to have good people that you invest in. At this point, the business is getting big, right? Really big. You're driving a barge. It's going to be a lot of dashboards. And very few decisions will have an immediate impact of much significance. However, a few key decisions will make all the difference in the world between success and not. And that's why having the right people is really the only thing that matters. There's other considerations, of course, right? Pipeline is still going to be just top king. There's going to be so much data at this point and, you know, spreadsheets. You can have biz ops and analysts that are going to play a key role in helping to direct the barge. And And that early framework we talked about, the previous stage where the leadership team is coming together, you know, that was so important. Well, this is when it's going to shine through. The trust, the empowerment, the creativity, the functional environment where really good people can thrive and become great. That's an extraordinarily special thing.
So this brings us to our last stage of the $100 million plus range. What's the main focus of a sales leader at this stage? And what are some of the common challenges that you're trying to overcome when you're in that seat?
Yeah, so this can look very different. It one direction, you know, can be very high growth and moving towards that IPO that we talked about. Another direction can be kind of wallowing a little bit and trying to find the right direction. Snowflake in 2018 went from 97 million to in 2019, 264 million, right? So that's the first one that we're talking about. And that's how you command a range of $100 plus at a listing and pop the way that they did today. They think had 132% sustained year-over-year growth. That's an unbelievably difficult thing to do. And they also had $1.4 billion in funding to do that. So a lot of times if you get to that 100 plus, you know, the questions look a lot different than the previous stages. Unless you don't have institutional funding or investors, there's only really one question that matters, and that's liquidation. How do we exit? How do we get our investors paid? And so, you know, you're really probably looking at a few key things in terms of personnel, making sure you've got a few executive things and, you know, considerations. You're probably doing a hire or the opposite here or there. Same with the leadership and management team. You basically want to chain top to bottom that sets the stage for whatever direction you're trying to go. You're probably not doing a lot of hiring, generally speaking. In fact, you might be buttoning things up a bit. You're cutting costs. A lot more talk around the business about profitability and not a 10-year path, but a this year, next year type of environment. And, you know, it's not that the dynamics change. In the previous stages, it was all growth. And really, it's not so much growth anymore. It's not so much build it and they will come, because we did build it and they didn't come. So it's now a question of what do we do at this point?
Got it. And same question as for the others, and you already mentioned some of this, but what are some of the top skills that as a sales leader are especially important to excel at this later stage? Is it experience actually kind of going through this IPO process? What are some of the things that you look for?
Experience is going to be critical, which depending upon which path we're talking about, the first, you know, exceptional path or the we're trying to figure it out path. So experience will play a big role. You know, you're probably in the second more, you know, normalized path. You're battling dysfunction. In some ways, there's less motivation to work cross-functionally. So it's a lot of management. It's a lot of people management, a different leadership style. There's probably going to be hard decisions along the way. There's no founders anymore, right? Everyone's an adult at this point. There's no excuses. Everyone has a job. The board just wants to see the job get done.
And last question for this stage, are there any particular strategies, frameworks that you've leaned on in the past or that you've seen other folks leverage to be successful here?
I'll go back to what I said a moment ago. You know, I think it will be important that a few key people are in place through the hierarchy. So, you know, the CEO has his or her team down through leadership and management. It's not a huge team. It's not everyone, but it's key people in key places. I think that's a really, really important part of this. And, you know, at a certain point, folks might feel like the barge lost direction or steam a little bit. And, you know, they're going to be looking for strong leadership and direction and the confidence that there is a plan.
And so the last piece here, before we get into final tips and tricks, what are some of the common mistakes made along the way? So we've gone through these five different buckets of growth. If you had to narrow in on one or two top mistakes for each stage, what would those be? I know you mentioned bad hires earlier, but would love to hear others.
Bad hires is a little bit later. From zero to one, you know, it's the first time the founder's probably doing this. And it's you know, a common pitfall is just believing buyers. You know, buyers don't mean to, but oftentimes they don't know how to buy. And this is something founders will learn over time. I just had one of my companies experience this and go through a 4-month cycle. And it's starting to understand and differentiate true buyers versus window shoppers. The happy years will quickly fade. And I think that's a very common one. And then another one is not being human enough early on and in turn not being hands on enough. So you know, I'm always telling my teams to get off email. If you're not texting, if you're not on a phone basis with your champion, you don't have a real deal, or at least there's a lot of risk around it. And getting out of, you know, the written form and into an actual relationship and interaction is going to go a long way. You mentioned hiring 1 to 5, hiring a sales leader too early, or even AEs too early. The founder needs to figure it out. And then again, hiring. So as soon as you do start to figure it out, bring in the AEs, you know, get two AEs, get a great SDR, figure out when the right time is to get the sales leader in there. That'll organically come together. And then as the scale and continues to increase from 5 to 20, I think this is where product really shines through, and not investing enough in product will become, create a hamstring effect. The product's going to need to deliver. That'll drive sales. It'll keep churn down. Otherwise, you just have a leaky bucket. And from a go-to-market perspective, you're going to want to start bringing in strong leaders at this stage. Marketing, sales, customer success, commitment to collaborate, really identifying what is our North Star around the entire business and making sure everyone's rallying around it. And then when you hit that hyperscale from 20 to 100, it's easy to look at spreadsheets and make decisions for hiring, but you got to really watch out for the talent and make sure you're hiring well. You're bringing in, you're not bringing in subpar talent. You're bringing in hopefully the best hires each time that you've ever made. And then the pipeline, just like we talked about, you're in spreadsheets. There's bottlenecks, and not just for sales, but if CS can't keep up with delivery of service, that creates a bottleneck, and now you're still behind the eight ball. So it's just looking around the corner, understanding what might become a potential blocker. And trying to get ahead of it. And at this point, you're just shining a spotlight on that North Star and keeping everyone rallied around it, which is really, really difficult because you're growing so much and people have different motivators and so on. And then at that final stage, it's vision. And it's sharing out that concise yet comprehensive plan that everyone's going to buy into. Investors, board members, executives, leadership, management, the entire employee base. There's a lot of separation that can occur, and it's not easy. Communication will help. The right type of communication, the right level, the right channel, keeping the employee population engaged, that's going to be really difficult to do and pretty important for overall success. And at this point, you're probably refocusing and reestablishing the North Star. And it's probably changed. It's going to be harder than ever to keep all of the troops rallied around it, but putting in the effort will go a long way.
Well, Andrew, we've covered a ton of ground. It's been really interesting just diving deep kind of into each of these stages of growth. Are there any final thoughts, tips, tricks that you want to leave folks with to summarize? Maybe if there's something that we didn't get to that you wanted to cover today.
It's probably clear from my central theme today. We're always building our team. That team's our network. It's cross-functionally the people we've worked for and with and would like to do so again. The folks that we go to battle with. And, when we go about this process through these phases, we're going to be spending more time with these people than our friends or our family. So they better be the right people. And if they are, then, ain't no mountain high enough. We'll go get the job done. So I think that's a really key piece to all of this. But totally unrelated, I wanted to do just a quick plug if it's okay with you.
Sure.
Part of what clearly I'm passionate about is the mentoring and getting in front of early stage founders. I'm also very passionate about giving back and empowering others, and especially those who come from a disadvantage. So I mentor at Europe, which is a really amazing national nonprofit. Our mission is to close the opportunity divide by providing urban young adults with the professional skills, experience, and just general support that empowers them to in turn reach their potential through either professional careers or higher education. And it's an amazing program, and they can always use wonderful people to come through and support that.
And if folks want to learn more about Year Up, where should they go?
Great question. So there's different satellites. Europe.org is the easiest place to start. Europe.org. And, there's Bay Area. There's, I think Facebook actually is a great partner that has something internally down in Palo Alto. They've got San Francisco location, et cetera. So Europe.org is a place to start.
Great. Well, Andrew, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing all these insights with us. This was really fun.
My pleasure, Evan. Really appreciate you having me, and have a wonderful afternoon.
And that's our show. If you liked this episode and want to hear more, subscribe to the Bowery Capital Startup Sales Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.